Today's daf is Lamed Aleph. I want to point out something that one of our listeners pointed out, which is about the documents. We were talking about keeping the documents. So he reminded me that there's two things, which is that the documents were kept in pottery shards. You know, that's in pottery jugs. That's how they kept them, which also just meant, you know, you didn't really, I mean, we talked about that, you know, in terms of saving them. The other thing is that the mice would get to them, and that was a big issue. We saw that with the truma a while back, and there was a concern that mice might eat the documents, which is another concern. The issue, though, there is that why 3 years? In other words, it doesn't necessarily... Right. The mice could have eaten it immediately. You know, that could also be an issue. But that there was an issue with saving it. They were written on parchment. It was, you know, it was obviously... The whole storage system was very different than nowadays. Okay. Starting at the top of Lamed Aleph. Zeomer Shalavotai, Vizeomer Shalavotai. Two guys come. So we're continuing in our slew of stories. One guy says, this lamb belonged to my fathers. And the other person said, this lamb belonged to my fathers. Hai aite sade de avatehi. One brings witnesses that it belonged to his fathers. He has a deed in his father's name. Vahai aite sade de achle shne chazaka. And one has testimony that he's been living there for 3 years. So the question is, what happens? So Amar Rabba, ma lo l'shaker, ibai. Now, let's just talk for 1 minute. What's missing with this guy's claim, who says, ach l'shne chazaka,
that I bought it?
That he's missing a claim that I bought it. Okay? So Rabba says, ma lo l'shaker. Why would he lie and just say, ach l'shne chazaka? Right? If we think he's lying, he should have given a better lie. Remember, we've learned this before, that if we're concerned someone's lying and they have a better lie and they don't use that better lie, then we must assume they're telling the truth. So what's his better lie? Ibai, if he wanted, Amarle, minach zavante v'achalti ashne chazaka. He could have said, I bought it from you and I've been living on the land for 3 years, in which case it would be a chazaka of 3 years that has a ta'ana that I bought it from you, and it would have been very simple.
But does that undermine the entire assumption that you have to make the claim? And the whole, if we're making the claim for you, then you never have to make. We just said all along for days you have to make the claim or it doesn't hold.
Right. So here...
That undermines everything we've just done.
Right. In other words, this is saying anytime you claim you have a chazakah and you don't bring,
you don't have a ta'ana.
Right. It's true. It does sound a little bit like that according to him, because right, he's going right. The truth is, Abai is not going to agree with this, and maybe partly for the reasons that you're saying. Just 1 second. Right. It's a good question, and I think that's why. I think this is part of the reason, if you look in the Rashbam, we'll look in a minute, why Abai disagrees with him. Okay, now there's Rabba's saying here, I don't think he's lying because he could have had a better claim. But Amarle Abaye, Mali the Shaker Bimkom Edim Lo Amrinan. When the other person brings witnesses, you know, there's one thing we say, you could have had a better lie, and therefore we believe you. But that's only in a case where you don't have some proof standing against you. In this case, the other guy has proof that the lamb belonged to his father, and therefore this Migo doesn't allow him to get it. So let's look in the Rashbam for a minute. Maybe he's relating to this. So first of all, what's interesting, right? Rashbam points this out. I was thinking about when I learned it, that Abai is the Talmid of Rabba. Right, he was his adopted son, and he was his Talmid. So interestingly enough here, Abaye questions him, and Rabba ends up agreeing with Abaye. Okay, so Amarle Talmido Abaye. What?
Do we not see that often?
I'm sure, not so often. Not so often. I'm sure it happens, but not so often. So Amarle Talmido Abaye, Mali the Shaker, Klomar, Al Yidei Haimigo, De Mali the Shaker, Lo Yizkebekarka, Shere Edim Machishim et Dvarav, right? Because the Edim are contradicting. Shomrim de Shalavotav de Idachi, right? The witnesses contradict. Begam, so here we have it. Hachazaka Eina Klum, Shere Ein Ima Ta'ana, Ki Im Ta'ana Sheker. Okay, in other words, he's saying, but wait, you need a Ta'ana, and it's what Ruth was saying, which is, what do you mean? Then anytime it doesn't have a Ta'ana, you could, and it's not exactly saying what you said, but I think That's what he's getting at, that also this is a chazaka, which doesn't have a tana, which is nothing. Kim tana checker. If you can't claim anything, remember, the whole thing was premised on, and this is what I think the Rashbam is getting at, what Abai is saying is, the whole concept of chazaka is premised upon only if you're willing to make a claim. If you're not willing to make a claim, we think that you're lying. So therefore, you can't use amigo or mali l'shaker here to prove it. And then the Rashbam points out here, v'halacha ka'abaye shairei rabba hodelo, k'demucha fazil. It's going to be clear later on that Rabba changes his mind and agrees with Abaye. So basically, Abaye says, in this case, you can't do it. Hadar amarle, what happens now? The case changes a little bit. So the first shlav of this case is, one person says it was my father's, the other person says it was my father's, one guy brings proof that it was his father's, and the other guy brings proof that he was living there. So now, what do we say? The guy who brings proof that his father's owned it is right. So now, because the guy who brought proof, Shnei Chazaka, he doesn't have a ta'ana, so his Chazaka is meaningless. But now, the person who brought the Chazaka, the Edei Chazaka, says, Hadar Amarle, he changes his tone a little bit. And what does he say? In Dahavatichi, I believe you that it belongs to your fathers, you're right. Uzivanta. Okay, now here there's a big Gersa issue. It's not so huge either which way, but it affects the details of the case. Uzvante minach or uzvanta minaihu. Either I agree that it belonged to your fathers, but I bought it from you. That's minach. Or I agree that it belonged to your fathers, but I bought it from them. Okay, so either which way, he claims. He says, yes, it's true. The first time I said I was just eating Shnei Chazaka, that I lived there for 3 years. But now I'm telling you, because I didn't get into all the details later, but now I'm telling you, yeah, I didn't disagree with your witnesses. Your witnesses are right. It did belong to your fathers. But I bought it from them, or I bought it from you down the road. V'hai de'amrele. Now, what's the problem? The problem is, what did he claim before? He said it was my father's, my ancestors'. But now he's changing. He's not saying, oh, well, it wasn't really my ancestors. I bought it from you, or I bought it from your ancestors. So now he obviously has to explain, well, why did he say in the first place, it belonged to my ancestors? V'hai de'amrei lach de'avatei. Why did I say it was my father's? Because what I meant was, de'samech li ala k'de'avatei. It's so clear to me that it's mine, that it's as if my father's owned it. Okay? So what's he saying? He's changing the wording of, right? He's saying, I said avotai. What I really meant was, I bought it from you or your ancestors. In other words, I don't deny your claim that the edim, meaning, I don't disagree with your witnesses. Your witnesses can stand. But I still have a claim, despite the fact that your witnesses did, right? And avotai means, right, it's so clear that it's mine, okay? It's a strange way of using the term, but it's saying this land is so clearly mine that it's as if I've had this for generations. That's the way you would say it. So now the big question is, to'ein v'chozer v'to'ein? Oh, I know to'ein v'chozer v'to'ein. Are you allowed to change your claim, basically? Now, obviously, it's going to be implicit here, that even if we say you can change your tone, your claim, it doesn't mean if you contradict what you said. It means if you reinterpret what you said. Do we allow a reinterpretation of what you said to basically support your claim better? So Ula Amar, we're going to have a machloket. Ula Amar, to'ein v'chozer v'to'ein. Okay, so Ula says, yes, you can do it. Nehardea, okay? Nehardea, Amre, in the place of Nehardea, right, the city, they said, eino to'ein v'chozer v'to'ein. So we have a machloket, whether this is acceptable in court. Ula says yes. He can interpret his words and claim that avotai didn't really mean avotai and that he bought it from the other guy. And then he has his ta'ana, I bought it, he has his chazaka, and all is well. Now Harda says, what are you talking about? That's not what he said in the first place. He only changed it because he was trying to get the land back. But we don't believe him at this point. So now we're going to say, umode Ula, we're going to deal with Ula and Harda. Ula agrees with Nehardea that Eino Chozer V'Toein, in what case? Hecha da'amrale shel avotai velo shel avotecha. If originally he said, this land is my father's and it's not your father's. Okay? If that were the case, where he now is going to change it and contradict what he said and say, oh no, I do agree it was your father's, but I bought it from you. But originally he said, I don't think it belonged to your father's. Then we're going to have an issue, okay? If he originally said, this is my father's land and not your ancestor's land, well then, we're not going to believe him. V'hecha d'havekai beidina, another case where Ula is going to agree that it doesn't work, is hecha d'havekai beidina v'lo ta'an. If this whole thing happened in the court, right? What happened? He went into court, this one said shalavatai, that one said shalavatai, then that one brought witnesses, that one brought witnesses. Abaye and Rava, first Rava Paskin, then Abaye Paskin. Rava then went along with Abaye. And then the guy was still in court and he said, oh, well, you misunderstood. This is what I really meant. That would be okay. But if that means Kai Beidina, but if he was Kai Beidina, Velo Ta'an, he was still in the court and he didn't make a claim. He didn't change his, he didn't explain himself at that point. Va'ata me'abrai, and then he leaves the court, and then he comes back to the court v'ta'an. In that case, eino chozer v'toei, and we don't accept his testimony. My time, ta'ante agmere. What did you say?
Literally chozer.
Right. So we don't reaccept his explanation. What's our concern? Ta'ante agmere. Gamar is to learn. What are we concerned with? The people taught him, Agmare is hifil, they caused him to learn. His neighbors, his friends, right? His family gave him advice and said, oh, you know, if you go and reclaim in court, this and that, right? He got a lawyer to tell him what to do. And then already we don't believe him, okay? But if he's still in court, and you could say almost, often with tmimut, like simplicity, and he realized you're passing against him, and he starts to explain, but wait, you didn't understand. That's one thing. But once he leaves the court and he didn't say anything then, at that point we're concerned that when he comes back in, he's already coming in with knowledge of how to beat the system.
Which
and
makes
then,
sense, except when you say, oh, I wish I, you walk out and you say,
yes.
I should have
it's
said,
not,
I
not right. So first of all, it's not necessarily true that he will be lying if he comes back in. Okay, you have to remember, the court has to come, the system of law has to come up with a system that works. Obviously, in 100% of the cases, or it's not going to be 100% of the cases, where the guy will definitely be lying when he comes back. He could have said, realized when he left, oh my God, I could have said this. Or, many times, why do people have lawyers? Because they don't know how to make claims in court. Lawyers aren't always liars, right? They're not always trying to cheat the system. Yeah, it very well could be that he didn't realize that he had an option to do that. And when somebody told him, oh, you know, you could have explained yourself better, he would have learned how to do that. However, they had to draw the line somewhere, and they figured this was a good way to draw the line. Again, whether you agree or disagree with it is a whole different question, because I agree that there could be arguments made that just because he left the court doesn't mean that his argument is a lie at that point. Okay. Now, what about Nahardea? So Nahardea says, Eino chozer v'toein. But now we're going to see that there are moda in certain cases that you can be. Umodu Nahardea, hecha da'amrele, shel avotai, shel akhoa me'avotecha. If he said originally, it's my father's that bought it from your father's, de chozer v'toein. One second. It's my father's that bought it from your father's, so then why would he need to even change his claim?
Then he can come back and enhance his claim. It doesn't make sense by saying he bought it. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, one second. If this is the second time. If he came back and he said, Shalavotai shalakor me'avotecha, then it works. In other words, if he said, you're right, it was your father's, but in other words, where he's not even, in this case, what happened?
He's not saying it's my
father's. Ula had to say that it was okay to say that when he said it was my father's, he didn't really mean it was my father's. He meant really it was mine. That's already a bit of a stretch. But if he comes back later and says, well, yeah, I knew it was your father's. Your witnesses are right. But it's just that my father's bought it off of your father's. Your star is from 10 years ago. And in the interim, my father's bought it from your father's. In which case, he's not contradicting his claim in the slightest. He's still saying it's my father's. He's just elaborating on his claim. He's saying it was your father's, but my father's bought it from your father's. In which case, his claim it was my father's is still totally accurate. And there's nothing he has to interpret, really. He's just adding. So in that case, Nahardea would agree. And v'hecha de'ishtei mila me'abrai v'lo ta'an. And here's another thing. Let's say he hasn't yet come to court. Let's say you and I are having a disagreement about the land, and we discuss it outside of court, before we get into court. And I tell you what I'm going to say in court, okay? And let's say I go into court then, and I say something different. So Nahardeh agrees in this case, Hecha de'ishte, that means he tells him, Mili, Dvarim, Abrai, outside, Velo ta'an, okay, and then he didn't say them in court, Va'ata lebedina vita'an, and then, or wait, what's this Velo ta'an? Maybe these words don't appear here, it doesn't make sense. Abrai lebedina velo ta'an, Va'ata lebedina vita'an, right, this is what it means. We were talking outside, and I didn't make a particular claim, okay? I didn't say, oh, well, my father's brought up your father's, or whatever it might be. I didn't elaborate. Va'ata lebedina vita'an, and then I go into court, and all of a sudden, I whip out this claim that I didn't tell you I had before, okay? Dechozer v'toin, and why? I can. In other words, just because I didn't tell you outside the court doesn't mean that I can't make this claim in court and that I'm lying. My time, avid inish shaloma gale tante ela lebedina. It's very common that I'd be smart enough not to tell you, right? How often does the defense and the prosecution speak, right? Or two people having a sikhsuk, they don't generally speak before they get into court because they'll give away all their secrets, right? So basically, if I didn't tell you outside court, but then I go into court and make a claim against something I said outside court, well, that doesn't bother us because generally people don't reveal their stuff except for in court. Okay. So we had two cases where each of them are moda to the other. Amar Amemar. Amemar now comes and says, Ana Nahardeah, Ana. I come from Nahardeah. However, Usfira li detoim v'chozer v'toin. Okay, even though generally the rabbis of Nahardeah said, Eino chozer v'toin, I hold the toim v'chozer v'toin. And Hilchata toim v'chozer v'toin. So just like all these cases yesterday with Rava, where we accepted some interpretation, remember every time Rava said, oh, well, since there's a way to interpret it like this, we can accept it? Same today, right? We're going with Ula, that when he says avate, it means, oh, well, I didn't really mean it was my father's. I meant that it's clear to me that it's mine as if it had belonged to my father's. And therefore, he can change his claim as long as it's within the interpretation. There is a way to interpret the phrase that way, and as long as it doesn't contradict. Okay, and as long as, again, he hasn't left the court and come back in and gotten advice from all sorts of people. Next case. Ze'omer shalavotai. Ve'ze'omer shalavotai. Again, two people claim it belonged to their ancestors. Hai aite sade de'avate va'achla shne chazaka. V'hai aite sade de'achla shne chazaka. Okay, what happens? First person, okay, maybe we'll use people, okay? Ruth claims the land belonged to her father's, okay? And Judy claims that the land belonged to her father's. Now, Ruth brings witnesses that it belonged to her father's, and Achla Shnei Chazaka. Right, that's what we have here? Right. And Judy just brings witnesses to Achla Shnei Chazaka. So what do we have here? Now, you both can't have been living in the land the last 3 years. The assumption is you each brought witnesses that said that you lived in the land for the last 3 years. So, obviously, one of these groups of witnesses is lying. So, what do we call this? Edut hakasha, and everybody drops out. Okay? What's the problem?
I saw
the same. Well, yes and no. Because right now, I made an X on the Achlashne Chazak.
Depends on who the witnesses are.
One of them could
but,
be right.
But one of them could be right.
But, that's,
but we don't know. So when we have a Dura Chasha, we throw everybody out of court. But now,
the same
witnesses who said Shel Avotai for Ruth also said that she ate Shnei Chazak. It was the same witnesses. So if we're throwing them out of court, then aren't we going to throw out their first statement also? And if these witnesses are potential liars, then we should throw them. And if we're throwing out their testimony, we throw out their entire testimony. We don't say, oh, well, you know, that was contradicted. That wasn't contradicted. We'll leave that. Or maybe we do. So that's the debate here. So Amar Rav Nachman, okay, achila lebahade achila, knock out achila and knock out achila. Thank you. The okay ara b'cheskan avhata, but keep the land. Right, based on Ruth's testimony that it belonged to my father's. Okay? So that's Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Ruth wins. She gets to keep the land.
Also, could be two different people giving the testimony.
It could be, but the assumption here, since they're talking about it,
but it would be a stronger claim if I had brought different witnesses for each.
Yeah, if you had brought different witnesses, then I don't even think there's a question. I don't think there's any question. I think it's obvious. Amarle Rava, ha edup mukheshet hi. What do you mean? This is edup mukheshet, right? This is contradictory testimony. Those witnesses should be thrown out of court entirely. Amar le, Rav Nachman answers him, Nihi de ikchashah ba'achilata, v'avhata mi ikchash. Well, you might say that they were canceled out when it's talking about achlash nechazaka, but who's to say, right, mi is ha'im. Ha'im, did anyone contradict their testimony about saying avotai? No, nobody contradicted that, so why should that be thrown out of court? That's the machloket right now. What we want to suggest is that their machloket is based on a different machloket. Sometimes we do this and say it's a Tanaitic machloket. In this case, we're going to compare it to another machloket between two Amoraim of similar generation and say, and I think they're like a drop before them, and say that maybe their machloket is the same machloket as in this other case. Lema Rav Rav Nachman bepluta de Rav Huna v'Rav Chista kamiflegei. Why don't we suggest that they're arguing about the same thing? What's the case there? De Itmar. Shtei kitei edim hamakchishot ze et ze. That's the title. Okay, the title of machloket is two groups of witnesses that contradict each other. Sounds very similar, right? Am Rav Huna, zo ba bifnei atzma umiida, v'zo ba bifnei atzma umiida. If we throw two groups of witnesses come and they contradict each other, so now what happens? Are they false witnesses? Are we not allowed to accept their testimony in another case? Right? In theory, there are only 50% chance that they're liars. Now, in order to convict, in order to say someone's an apasul and he can't come to court, you can't say, well, there's 50% chance that he's a liar, so let's not accept his testimony. So therefore, what does Rav Huna say? If they each come in a separate situation to court, so Zobah b'fnei atzma u'mi'ida, we'll accept his testimony because he's only safek a liar. We don't have proof that he's a false witness, so we can't not accept his testimony. V'zobah b'fnei atzma u'mi'ida, right? Each one can come to court in a different case and testify. V'rav Chista amar, b'hadeh sadeh shikrei lamali. How can I take money out of somebody's hands based on the fact that there's a 50-50 chance that this guy's a liar? Right? I'm not going to accept these witnesses in a different case because maybe they're lying. And if I'm going to exchange money and say, well, you owe somebody money and you got to pay it. Right? Remember, we always assume, HaMasim HaChaber HaLav HaRaya. Well, if HaLav HaRaya, his Raya has to be with witnesses that are 100% honest guys. And these guys are 50% chance they're dishonest. So therefore, Rav Chista holds, we can't accept their testimony. So Lema Rav Nachman, remember Rav Nachman said, cancel all the tests. Rav Nachman said, right, just because it was canceled for Achila doesn't mean we cancel out their whole testimony. So Rav Nachman would be holding like Rav Huna, that they could testify in some other case if they want. So here they could testify in our case. But Rava ki Rav Chista, okay? Rava, who says, no, we cancel out them entirely, would be like Rav Chista, who says we don't accept them. Their trustworthiness is mutaba safek, and therefore we're not going to accept it. So now the Gemara says, no, no, no. You're comparing two different types of cases. Aliba de Rav Chista kule amalo pligi. You can't, there's no way, what this really means is there's no way to explain both shitot according to Rav Chista, because Rav Huna will never agree with Rav Chista. Because Rav Huna says, right, we accept the avotai, right, we accept part of his testimony, therefore in the case of Rav Chista, he wouldn't agree with him anyway. However, aliba baki pligi, aliba de Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna, we could explain both Rav Nachman and Rava. Okay, Rav Nachman and Rava could both be explained according to Rav Huna. How? Remember what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said, Zoba b'fnats ma'umida, v'zoba b'fnats ma'umida. So now, Rav Nachman, who very simply said, we accept part of their testimony, would be exactly like Rav Huna, ki Rav Huna. And he would say, right, just like Rav Huna allows them to testify in other cases, therefore they could testify here. But Rava, how's Rava going to explain Rav Huna to fit in with his shita? He's going to say there's a distinction between the two cases. Why? Ad kan lo kama Rav Huna ela le'edut acheret, aval la'ota edut lo. Okay, what's the case? Rav Huna said, I'll accept their testimony when it comes to some other situation. But in this case, I'm not going to accept their testimony when they potentially lied about part of it, I'm not. If I kick them out of court about this testimony, I can't say, well, I'll accept some of your testimony and I won't accept the, and I'll accept some and I'm going to kick out the rest of it. No, if I'm kicking out your testimony, then I'm kicking out the entire thing. If you come back to me tomorrow and you testify about some other situation, I'll accept it. But I'm not going to accept their testimony about this situation. Because already they're mutaba safek about this issue. This, by the way, we've seen before, where sometimes we do say pagina dibure. We saw this concept where we split what somebody says, and we allow the testimony. We saw with the, if a guy comes to court and says, I lent you biribit. So, ein adam asim atzmo rasha, and therefore he can't be convicted, but do we allow it to convict the other guy? The heap, because remember, the loveh and the malveh are, there was a roveh and a nirbah also. Can you accept his testimony, knock out some of it, but accept the other part of it? So, but here, we're basically saying that according to this opinion, right, you wouldn't be able to do that. Okay, so in the end, we say it's not based on that machloket, because that machloket is, do we allow their testimony in a different case? And this is about, do we allow their testimony in the same case? And that might be less likely to say. Just like the other situation, the case continued. Okay, so remember what happened. Let's just review, right? Ruth brought testimony that it belonged to her fathers and that she ate shnei chazaka, and Judy brought testimony that achla shnei chazaka. Hadar aite sade da'avat. Oh, so wait. What happened? So, based on Rav Nachman, Ruth got the land back. Okay, Rav Nachman passed and Ruth gets the land. And then Judy, hadar aite sade da'avatehi. Judy now brings witnesses. All of a sudden, she finds witnesses that it belonged to her fathers. Okay, right on time. Okay, she brings witnesses now that it belonged to her fathers. Now, what's the issue?
Her witnesses are stronger because they haven't been possibly suffered.
Ah, so you could suggest that, but Rav Nachman anyway thought that your witnesses were okay. But now, what's the problem? Now we again have a dud hakhasham. We should knock out the witnesses, which means what? If Ruth is sitting on the land, we should kick Ruth out of the land because Ruth has no rights to the land because we only gave her rights to the land because she had witnesses. But now those witnesses were contradicted.
Now nobody has rights
now
to
right. There's a few different, I'm not going to get into all the details, some different options about what exactly happened and whether one of them was muhzak in the land or not and whether there is a muhzak in the land. If there's no muhzak in the land, then we have this concept, which we'll see later on, kol da'al in gvar, whoever stronger gets it. Okay, but
it's almost like a moti mechaber alai harai. If you're sitting on the land and everything else,
except that here you're sitting on the land because the rabbis told you to sit on the land based on witnesses, and really your witnesses are no good. So what does Rav Nachman say? Anan achtine. Okay, anan maskina le. We brought you down into the land. Okay, like I said, this line has a bunch of different interpretations. I'm going to go with the basic one, which is we brought you down into the land and we're going to take you off the land. In other words, what's he basically saying? The court made a mistake. Right? We didn't have all the facts in front of us. We made a mistake. We thought that Ruth deserved the land. It happens. She doesn't. We're going to have to take Ruth out of the land. And what's the concern that you might have thought about, which he says, I'm not concerned about? Liziluta de Beidina lo cheshina. I'm not concerned that people are going to say, what a whimsical court. This court doesn't know what they're doing. Look, they passed in one way and now they're changing their tone. I'm not worried about that. Okay? Tov. Mativ Rava, we'll hold off because we're going to get back to that concept. Rava says, wait a minute. Okay, either Rava or V'itema Rabbi Ze'era. Some people say it's Rabbi Ze'era who brought the question against Rav Nachman. How could you say that you're not worried about Ziluta the Beidina? We have a case where we are worried about Ziluta the Beidina. And where is that? Okay, we learned this already in Ketubot and Yevamot. Our famous case with the woman whose husband goes abroad and doesn't show up on the scene and we don't know what to do, right? So, what about a case where Shnayim Omrim Mate, two witnesses come and said he died. V'Shnayim Omrim Lo Mate. Okay, we have contradictory testimony about whether he died or didn't die. Shnayim Omrim, right, we talked about there, I remember, how can you say he didn't die? How can you prove that somebody didn't die? I don't remember all the answers we gave, but probably, you know, maybe they said he died in this place, at this and this time, and they say, well, you know, we saw him after that time, or, you know, something like that. Shnayim Omrim Nitgarsha, V'Shnayim Omrim Lo Nitgarsha. Okay, two people say she's divorced, and two other people say she's not divorced. Again, right? Is she an Eshet Ish or is she not? Harezo Lo Tinase, right? This is contradictory testimony, and she can't get married. V'im Niseit, What if she got married before, you know, before we, or we'll see in a minute, but let's say she got married already, lo tetze. Okay? She doesn't have to get divorced. Rabbi Menachem bar Rabbi Yossi omer tetze. Rabbi Menachem bar Rabbi Yossi says, no, if she got married, and we have no proof right now that the husband is dead or divorced her, she has to get divorced. Amar Rabbi Menachem bar Rabbi Yossi, e matai amini omer tetze. Now he's going to qualify his statement. In what case do I say that she needs to get divorced? Bizman shebau edim v'achar kach niset. Aval niset v'achar kach bau edim harei ze lo tetze. Okay, it's unclear which edim we're talking about. Let's say first edim came and said he died. Then she got married. Then, bau edim. Right, no. Let's say that all the contradictory witnesses came first and then she got married anyway. Then we're going to say she has to get divorced, okay? But if niseit, based on the first testimony, with the Baal Edim here is referring to the second group of Edim. So in other words, assuming no matter what, she only got married after the first group of Edim came and said, your husband died or your husband divorced you. She had test. Okay, but then if in the first case, the second group came already and said, no, he didn't die or he didn't divorce you, and then she got married, well, then she has to get divorced. But im niset va'achar kach ba'u edim, harei zo lo tetze. If she got married based on the first testimony, and then after the edim came and said she's not married, well then lo tetze. So now this connects because according to this, why do we allow her? Why do we say she doesn't have to be tetze in this case? Because what's this scenario here? Edim came and said he died. Then she got married, right? Then he cuts down, okay? Then she got married. Now, Adim now come and said, lo mate. At this point, really the facts on the ground are that this guy's not dead, because these contradict those, and there's no testimony. So why don't we say tetze? Why does Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi say she doesn't have to get divorced in that case? So what's the obvious answer? We're worried about Zilzul Beitin. Okay, that's what Rav is assuming. Now, you could claim maybe there's other issues here with moms there, you know, with like the kids.
It's a bad comparison.
But it's not a great comparison because Eshadish is such a totally different situation. Agreed. But the Gemara is looking at it from a very simple, clear viewpoint. And what's it saying? That basically from here you see that the rabbis are worried about the zilzul of the Beit Din. They don't want people to say, oh, the Beit Din said she can get married. Now they say she can't get married. Well, what kind of Beit Din is that? So therefore, they say she stays married. So comes Rav and he says, or Rabbi Zeira, whichever one is saying this claim, and says to Rav Nachman, you're wrong. You have to worry about Zilutah debating. So what does Rav Nachman say? It's a very interesting end to the story, although it's not going to end right now. You'll see. What happens? Amar Lei, Ana Savri Lamea Bad Uvda. I wanted to act based on my psak and kick Ruth out of the land. Hashda de otivtan at, now that you knocked me down, right, from Mativ, you knocked me down, you contradicted me, the otvan Rav Hamnuna b'Suria, and also Rav Hamnuna brought that same brayta against me in Suria, and also told me that I'm wrong because of this, lo avdinam ba'uvda. Okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take Ruth off the land because of what you said. In other words, I accept what you said. However, that's not the end of the story. Nafik avad uvda. In the end, Rav Nachman did go out and kick Ruth off the land. Okay? Again, this is according to this interpretation. That's what he did. Again, there's a few different ways of reading this as to what exactly transpired there, but assuming, okay, whatever it is, he acted upon it and he changed his psak from what it was originally. Man dechaza savar ta'uta hi biyadeh. Whoever saw him do this assumed that it was by mistake because didn't he just tell Rava or Rabbi Zeira that he agrees with him and we're worried about Ziluta de Beidina? Velohi, but in fact, it wasn't a mistake. Ela mishum detalya ba'ashle ravrave. The reason why he did it was because he found other great rabbis to rely upon. Okay? So basically, and we're going to stop here for today because once I start, we're not going to really get anywhere yet until the midway into the next daf. So I'm going to stop here. We're going to see tomorrow who the great rabbis are that he relied upon to say that we're not choshesh for this zilzul debate. What I wanted to point out, one thing that's very interesting is the whole issue here is there's Ziluta de Beit Dina. Now, what happened within, in other words, the whole question is, right, can I contradict, can I change what I did before because it will look like a Zilzul de Beit Din? And what happened in the case, in fact, was that Rav Nachman agreed with Rava that I'm going to go with you, and then he was a little bit mizalzel in Rava by the fact that he went against him. So it's like a story within a story. You follow? There's a zilzul going on. There's two zilzulim going on here. One is, can I change my psak and will that reflect poorly on the Beit Din? And the other is, he himself changed his psak within the change of psak, right? In other words, then he thought, oh, well, maybe I'm not allowed to change my psak because it was zilut to the Beit Din. And then he decided, no, I can change my psak because I have other people to rely on. So there's like a story within a story going on here. And obviously, this concept of Ziluta de Beit Dina, you could see why it would be such a strong concept, because in general, almost like we talked about earlier, we don't really know who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. And whether if you leave the court and get advice, does that mean it's advice that's telling you to tell the truth, or is it advice that's telling you to lie? And there has to be a system here. And if we constantly second-guess the system, so the system's not going to be able to function properly. And that's why there's such a concern for this Ziluta de Beit Dina. On the one hand, you want to go with truth, which is, Rav Nachman says, look, the facts changed. I got to go with what the truth is. I don't care if there's a zilzul of the Beit Dina. And Rava says, but if you're not worried about zilutah de Beit Dina, the next time the court rules, people aren't going to take the court's ruling seriously because they're going to say, well, look, the court made a mistake then. Why are we going to respect the court now?
It's so relevant today.
Yeah, it's very relevant.
It's exactly what's going on with the Bagans.
Right. Right. So these are issues that are clearly relevant in any system of law and how much people respect the system and not respect the system. Therefore, it's a key
issue. But it does raise all sorts of concerns about when a case is actually closed. Right? Maybe
yes. When can you close a case? Line, right.
But
right.
Can you
reopen it?
Can you ever rely? There are all sorts of issues.
Well, and new facts are established.
They closed it and now they're trying to, and they said it's final. What is called chalut? When a case is
sealed,
and they're still trying to reopen it and find ways to. So maybe there's never.
Right. This is right. It's a very common question.
It also sounds
there's a whole thing in Sanhedrin about if one gets convicted of death, do they give him time to bring proof still? And if he doesn't bring proof within that time frame, like there's a whole thing about a time frame of, you know, we give you a little bit of time to bring proof, and if you can't, then you know there's a whole thing about it. We'll get to it in Sanhedrin.